our first guest, who is Sue Wilson. Larry's going to introduce you.
Good morning, Sue. This is Larry. And Sue Wilson is an award-winning, in fact, she's an Emmy Award-winning broadcast journalist, and she's going to be on a tour, the Florida 2011 Florida Media Reform Tour. She'll be in Tampa on April 3rd and Venice on April 4th, Fort Myers on April 5th. Now, this is a pretty exciting tour, because all of us who listen to the media, and that's all of us, radio and TV, have been struck by how conservative, or how I consider it just kind of anti-Democrat and anti-Obama, most of the media has become, kind of under the name of investigative journalism. It's investigative journalism run amok. So the question is, how does all of this slanted, fact-free presentation affect our First Amendment rights on our public airwaves? And Sue has got this film, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about it. Sue, good morning, and thanks for coming to The Surreal News.
Thank you so much for having me. Hello, Florida.
Hello, Florida. Sue, you know, I think the most recent example of bias in the media, and some breaking some of the old rules, is Obama's behavior around the Libya intervention, and then his presentation, his tour in Latin America. The media was pounding him for not acting fast enough when he wasn't acting, and then pounding him for acting impulsively when he did act, and then pounding him for going to Latin America when he should have stayed here to get pounded. What's going on?
Well, you know, what's going on is that the right wing hijacked our airwaves about a generation ago. And if you have an R behind your name, they're going to say good things about you. And if you have a D behind your name, they're not going to say anything good about you, no matter what you do. So it doesn't really matter what Mr. Obama does. The president is going to get bashed by the media no matter what.
Well, what's is that? And you're saying the reason for that is that the media is now in the hands of Republican or conservative the media is in the hands of Republican or conservative corporations.
Yeah, exactly. Here's what happened, and it happened really back in 1996. At that time, you know, before that, all the radio stations were local stations, and the older folks in the audience will remember this time when we had local radio hosts, when we had local musicians on the air, when you had many, many, many choices of very different programming on your radio dial. Well, in 1996, the corporations got together with the Republican Party and drafted a bill that allowed just a couple of corporations to own all the airwaves in the home country. It was the ability for a few corporations to buy as many radio stations as they possibly could. Now, historically, back when radio began, the owners of the radio, the broadcasters themselves, and Congress understood that you didn't want that. You wanted a lot of voices in radio. So they had a law where you could only own 3 FM stations and 3 AM stations. Well, those rules got relaxed over time, where in the Reagan administration, you could own 20 FM stations and 20 AM stations. 1996 comes along, they decide, no rules, you can have as many radio stations as you can buy. Bill Clinton signed that bill into law. The contracts were already drawn. As soon as he signed that bill, these GOP-friendly corporations snapped up as many as 1,200 stations per corporation. And what do they do now? They've nationalized our radio airwaves. We don't get much local radio except for, bless you, low-power FM stations like you that are still serving the community. My problem is, you're on this little tiny bitty station. You should have a 25,000 watt station. Why shouldn't you? You represent the community.
Well, Sue, I have been kind of going back and doing a little channel flipping. I don't usually watch the Fox Entertainment Network, but I do watch CNN and MSNBC when I can. I guess the feeling I've had is that Fox is the right wing. MSNBC is center to right, and CNN tries to play it straight, but really doesn't play it straight all that often. And there doesn't seem to be, I don't know, I think CNN tries to play it straight, but just realizes it's not going to get any listeners if it does. So isn't part of the problem our expectations of what we want to hear from the media? Are what role does the changing culture around media play for this?
We have, I think, since this shift occurred in media, we have, as a culture, begun to get more into we want to hear what we want to hear. It doesn't necessarily have to be factual. It has to match our own personal ideology. That is so dangerous for our democracy because we are no longer dealing with facts. We're dealing with, well, I want to hear what I want to hear. And if somebody lies to me but they're telling me what I want to hear, then I'm happy with that. Personally, I'm not happy with that. But that is what's occurred in terms of the shift in this culture. There's a lot of people, though, and I suspect that you are among them, who understand that we have got to get back to facts. We have got to get back to real debate. We've got to get back to real discussion in this country. And that's going to come from changing the media.
Well, as I've quoted this before in my field, we say data are only facts and they can't stand up in the face of deeply held convictions. And that's really what people like to hear, as you're saying, they like to hear what they believe, and faith is not always based on fact, as we understand. Something else goes on, too, and that is the need for cable TV particularly to have two black and white positions arguing with each other. So everything gets distilled into a white hat, black hat kind of a conflict, and then people are brought on to shout at each other from either side. So there's a dynamic that that news is really entertainment of two competing forces arguing with each other, whatever the issue is.
You're right, and news really is not an argument. News should be fact. And one of the things I would like to see are labels. This was a great idea Randy Rhodes came up with a few years ago when she testified in front of Congress. Label news as news, so if people see a news program, they know that they are getting straight factual reporting. And then if you want to do analysis, if you want opinion, you label it as opinion, so that people turn on Fox News or turn on MSNBC, or what is much more powerful is talk radio, know that they are getting either news or opinion. And let me follow that thought for just a second about talk radio. If we look at Sean Hannity, for example, who has a show on Fox News, Sean Hannity gets about 2.5 million viewers on Fox News. Now, that's a lot of people. I wish I had 2.5 million people following me. But did you know he gets 14 million listeners on talk radio? Glenn Beck, same story. Glenn Beck gets about 2 million viewers on Fox News. Glenn Beck gets 10 million listeners on talk radio. You could get rid of Fox News, but the real drumbeat in this country is talk radio. 50 million people, one out of every six people in this country, are listening to right-wing lies on talk radio every day. And here's the good news. You and I don't have any power over cable TV. Cable TV is privately run. It's a corporate business model. That's all it is. But your local TV stations, your local radio stations go out through the air. Those are the public airwaves. And those businesses are only allowed to operate if, this is very important, if they serve the public interest.
Okay. So we are talking with Sue Wilson, Emmy Award-winning broadcast journalist, who is on tour with a movie called Broadcast Blues, the movie the media does not want you to see. It's an 11-city tour beginning March 25th and going through April 5th. She'll be nearby in Tampa on April 3rd, Venice April 4th, and Fort Myers on April 5th. Sue, I have a question. What if this tide is just a tsunami and it's impossible to turn? I mean, I hear you trying to go back a little bit to when news was factual and opinion was editorial and we could tell the difference on the media, in all the medias, but what if, I mean, we have a supposedly a liberal president with a liberal FCC and other regulatory agencies, and he doesn't seem to be, you know, trying to push the pendulum back the other way. What do liberals do if, in fact, this tide can't be turned back?
You know, I don't think we need to think about we can't. I think the problem is liberals have not gotten on the ground and organized to make this happen. Let's face it. Any law that passes in this country happens because of people making noise. And the first thing that we have to understand is that we do own these airwaves. We, the people, have rights, and we need to start shouting about it. So, you know, I think what we need to do, and we're setting this up, we're setting up a new website called ourpublicairwaves.com. It'll be up soon. But what we really need to do is to get local communities to start watchdogging their local TV and radio stations, to start pounding on their doors and going, excuse me, but you are not serving all of the public. You are serving one very narrow faction of the public. So we've got to start personally holding the local broadcasters accountable, and then we've got to start holding the FCC accountable in a very publicized way. We've got to start, I'll give you an example. We're going to start...
We've got about 30 seconds left.
Okay, to close it up, let me say this. We, the people, do own these airwaves just like we own national parks. If they shut you out of the national parks, you would be screaming. We need to start screaming, but we need to understand why. And that's why Come Out and See Broadcast Blues, the best 75 minutes you're going to spend.
All right, thank you so much, Sue Wilson, and you're going to be back. We're going to have you back on the Jumping Mullet next Wednesday with my wife, Nancy Norris, on her show. Thank you for joining us, and we're going to keep an eye on this. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye now.